Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 188 all the stanzas. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of Psalter 188.
portion of Scripture which we wish to read this afternoon can be found in the book of Isaiah, thereof the chapter 63. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments of Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and harden our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, a day we're not called by thy name, and we are called by thy name. Thou never bearest rule over them, but we are brought under thy word and everlasting testimony. And thou sayest in thy word that thou art not far from any one of us. We consider thee in the heavens, far away. But with thy majesty, Godhead, grace, and spirit, thou art at no time absent from thy church. And in thy divine nature, everywhere present, so thou hearest all things that we say, and thou seest all the things that we do, and thou requirest all the things that are past. Thou art near for those that are in distress, that they may cry to thee, or that we may feel something also in a special way in this hour because we are in thy house. And thou sayest that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, that we may feel something of this thy blessed presence and nearness, that we may not have to experience thy wrath and thy hot displeasure, wherewith thou art present even in the bottom of hell. Wilt thou give in the heart of each one of us a feeling sense of thy greatness and of thy majesty, of the requirements of thy holy law, of our own unworthiness, our sinfulness, that we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, for the first time, but also by renewal. And that thou may also open thy word. For if thou openest it not, then it is sealed with seven seals, so that no man is able to enter into all that is contained therein. But therein there are riches, therein there is the gold of Ophir, therein is the substance that we lack in all our vanity. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou in this hour may come unto us and unto our children, to look upon us in thy mercy, and to grant us that opening in thy word that we have perhaps never known in our life. That our eyes may see as they have never seen, that our ears may hear as they have never heard, that our heart may be broken as it was never broken, pierced within, that we may receive a godly and an upright sorrow, a repentance that is not to be repented of. O Lord, who is able to work this in his own heart? For we are of yesterday and we know nothing. We are of our father Adam, dead in sins and in trespasses, so that we feel nothing. We must be born again, thou sayest, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. O Lord, the Spirit goeth where it listeth. We hear the sound of the wind. We cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. We do not deserve in this hour thy presence, thy nearness, the power of thy Spirit to work in the hearts of young and old. But we beseech it of thee. On the basis of thy eternal love and of the work that has been accomplished by thy dearly beloved Son, as we have heard it in this morning hour, expounded unto us, oh, that we may be given a need that it be applied in our own hearts, and that we could not miss thee upon our journey to that great eternity. Because we travel as those that go through. But we are looking here and there about us. And we look not to the place where we are journeying. O Lord, thou knowest our foolishness. For the wise man, he does fear. But a foolish man, He does pass away. O Lord, we beseech thee to give us wisdom this hour. For the first or by renewal, give us those desires of a Ruth of old, that we also may see the good of thy chosen, and that we may desire to be incorporated into thy church. That we would say even with her, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Look upon young and old, for there are those that cannot be reached anymore, for their minds have now been closed. Lord, thou art able to reach them. Oh, we beseech thee for them, because they still have life. Oh, thou art still able because thou art almighty. From our side, it is an impossibility. We look upon the means, but Lord, thou art a God of the means, but thou needest not the means. Oh, that thou may remember them then in their great need. And wilt thou speak unto their soul as thou alone art able? Look upon parents in this world. We have so much about us that is attacking our children especially, that thou may give us more faithfulness, more diligence to speak of those things that are most necessary, and that we may receive a seriousness about our life. That belongeth unto the true people of the Lord. That thou may remember young people in all this world that allures their natural hearts. O Lord, that thou may give the fear of the Lord to dwell in the hearts of our children and our youth while that they are still young. And that the callings which are received by them and us each and every day, that they may be sanctified, and that thou may work with might and with power. Do look upon those that hope to travel in this coming week even unto the land of Israel. Lord, wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand? Wilt thou spare from all danger? Wilt thou prosper their journey? Grant them a blessing also in the things which they hope to see and learn and know. But wilt thou give them and us together that we may desire to see something of that true land of Canaan, that true promised land, that thou may give us to enter therein, that thou may remember those that are thy own nation of old, Lord, that thou may open their eyes, take away the veil, and wilt thou give them to see who that thou art who has come to give thyself, that they may acknowledge thee as the true Messiah, and that thy kingdom may come also for that people who have blinded themselves. Lord, they have called out before thee as a nation. His blood be on us and on our children. O Lord, wilt thou remember them in thy mercy and give that blood may no longer have to be shed by them, that they may be given to see the blood of thee, and that they may desire that that blood may be blessed, may be sanctified and applied to them and their children. Remember all those that bring thy word. Increase their numbers here below. Give true conversions that it may be also that our schools may receive instructors. For there is coming, we fear, a great dearth also in this way. O Lord, that thou may raise up desires in the hearts of those who are truly converted by thee, that they may give themselves to this work, that our children and that the coming generation also may be instructed in thy truth, and that there may be from thee thyself a fighting against all that does come against the rising generation. Wilt thou look upon us as a congregation, as a denomination, as a nation also be with our rulers and governors? Wilt thou bring us back to thy word and to thy testimony? O give to us faith to believe in thee and in thy power, for we often ask of thee, but we have not the faith of a grain of mustard seed. We think it to be impossible, but thou art a great God, and thou canst do great things. O Lord, turn us then yet again, and bring us to thy footstool. Deal not with us as we so justly deserve, but wilt thou turn us to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember us as a congregation. O work thou mightily in the hearts of each and every one. Wilt thou bless the labors that are done here? O that thy word may have recourse, and that thy people, they also may be led by thee even as a beast into the valley to rest, and that they may taste something of the blessedness of thy salvation, may it be even in this hour. Lord, help us. Wilt thou give to us the strength that is necessary? Wilt thou give to us that wisdom to lay it out in a clear, in a convincing way? And may it be that thy spirit may bless a little word here or there that is read, that is sung, that is spoken, and that there may be profit in thy house. Forgive thou all our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 4, all the stanzas. O wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign? The following persons have been examined by the consistory with a desire to make confession of faith: Meredith Alleman, Lorraine Den Hollander, Rosemary Den Hollander, Andre Janssen, Miriam Janssen, Shailen Kreft, Darcy Nordegraff, Conrad Van Driesten, Felicia Van Driesten, Fred Van Herk, Laura Van Herk. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April the 17th. And the last collection today is for our building fund, Psalter 4, all the stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 63, and thereof the first verse, Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. So far are the words of our text. The appearance of Christ in his victory. First, we see from where he appears. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? And second, how he appears, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. The appearance of Christ in his victory, first, from where, second, and how he appears. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? What is Bozrah? That is the chief city, the capital city of Edom. And what is Edom? Our children know that is the place where the Edomites dwelt. The Edomites, they were a brother nation to the nation of Israel. Edom. That is Esau, that is the brother of Jacob. They are perpetual enemies of Israel. They hate Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They would love to see Israel utterly consumed. Why? Because Israel has done them evil? Because Israel threatens to do them harm? No, but because of the birthright. They do not receive that birthright that has been sold by Esau, by their father. And now they are deprived of that place of dominion which they desire to have. And as long as the nation of Israel exists, then Edom shall not have dominion. Balaam, he has prophesied, is saying that Edom shall be a possession. And this Edom doesn't live like all of the other nations of Israel. They do not live far away from Israel. No, Edom, they live right next to the nation of Israel. And that fierce, that bloodthirsty hatred that lived in their heart, that was evident every time that Israel came in danger with the other nations. Every time that Israel was defeated by the other nations, and then the hatred of Edom, that became evident. On the Philistines and the Arabians, they have plundered, they have sacked Jerusalem. And then we can read of the Edomites that they have actually helped to sell the prisoners of the Israelites unto the Greeks. David had subdued this nation, but they have again declared their independence under King Joram. And at that time, we can read that they have massacred the Israelites of Idumea. The Lord, he did not forget it. Thus saith the Lord, Amos writes, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. That's not the right one. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. When Jerusalem was destroyed by the Chaldeans, then the Edomites, they have rejoiced in the destruction. We can read that in God's word, of the calamity of their brethren. Thus they have helped the enemy. They have massacred the enemy. And we can read in that time that they also even themselves possessed Hebron. The church has its enemies. The church has its enemies in the world. But the greatest enemy of the church that is living so very, very close to the church was the greatest enemy of Christ. That was not Pilate. That was not Herod. But that was his own people. That was the Jewish nation. They rejoiced in him, yes. And when they thought themselves to be exalted by him, but when he went in the way of humility, in a way that they had no desire to go, then they did manifest that which lived within their hearts. And so his own brethren, they were in their hearts the very greatest enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that hate that true church. Why? Well, they hate them not because they have done them any harm, but they hate them because of the birthright. Then they hate them because of the election. They despise the poor and needy. And then especially in those times that the Lord does bring them so very, very low, and when they have so little light, and when they are not able to exercise faith, and when they are not able to deliver themselves, and when their own power that is felt to be weakness itself, then they are mocked, then they are abused by those that do hate them, even those that are round about them, even those who do make a profession within that church of God, who claim to have that they will have the inheritance for themselves. These are spurred on. They are spurred on by Satan himself. Satan himself is the greatest enemy of God. He is the greatest enemy of that church of God. And he is looking. He is looking every day again that church that may be utterly destroyed, that it may be utterly consumed. But where is now the greatest enemy? The greatest enemy of that church of God, that is not an enemy that is far away. The greatest enemy of that church that is living within their own breast. We can read that in the Word of God. It is an old man. It is a flesh. It is a body of sin. It is a body of death. It is mass of sin, of filth, of corruption. It is an unconquerable enemy. It is an enemy that goes with that people. It goes with them every place that they go in this world. And when they would go home for a little rest, then that enemy, he goes with them. He rises with them in the morning. He goes with them to bed in the evening. Then they can never deliver themselves from this enemy, an enemy that is seeking, a flesh that is seeking to smother a life, a new life, that it would be stronger than that new life, that it would overcome that life. And this is now that enemy that that church fears the most, more than any enemy that can be found in the church or in the world. It is an enemy of carnality. It is an enemy of worldly spiritedness. It is an enemy whereof that church says so often, I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Thus our text that is portraying a very vivid picture. And so we see in our mind's eye an Israelite who was walking, bowed down over the suppression, under the suppression of the enemy. Are there also those here that go over this world, bow down under the suppression of the enemy? So we see this man walking. He is walking over atop of the hills that are looking over the plains of Edom. He is oppressed. He is cast down. From time to time, he is looking upwards. And there is a cry that is going out unto the Lord of Sabaoth. And suddenly, as he is looking, he sees something. He sees someone. We read, he cometh. Thus we see him looking, and he sees someone far in the distance, and that man, he is coming toward him. Thus he is looking and looking, and his eyes, they are fixed upon this person as he is approaching closer and closer. Thus when the Lord comes, and when the Lord is showing himself unto his people, that the Lord is coming always in a surprising way. He is coming always when they are downcast. He is coming always when they have no strength in themselves. He is coming at a time when they are fearing that the Lord, he has utterly forsaken them. And then suddenly he is appearing. Suddenly he is showing himself to the eye of their soul. No, boys and girls. Then they cannot see him with their natural eyes. But they may see him with an eye of faith. That is a blessing you must ask the Lord for in your life. Because we have a natural life and we have a spiritual life. That is a life of our soul. And then that life of then our soul needs to be born again, that we may receive that life from the Lord, that we may be given to breathe, that we may be given to hunger, but that we also may be given to see. And when the Lord gives his people to see, then he is so often giving them to see in such a surprising way, because we read here in this text, who is this? Thus, that is the question of this soul that is given to behold. He is given to see something with an eye of faith, especially when he has never seen him before, but also time and again. Do you also know something of that question that says, who is this? Because you have been given to see something of that Son of Man. Oh, there is a people. And they may see something for the first time of who God is. And then they have to say, who is this? Because that God is so different than when we may see him by an eye of faith. And when that heart may be renewed. And then we see God as we have never seen him before. Then he is not far away from us, no. And then he is very, very near. Then we see him in the commandments that are in his holy word. Then we see his law. And then we feel also something at the same time of his nearness. Oh, then He is drawing our soul by the love of His Spirit, so that there is something in our heart that is attracting us unto Him, unto His Word, unto His day, unto His law. Oh, then we say in our heart, who is this? Because, boys and girls, then your mother can have spoken, and your father and your teacher, oh, then they have spoken to you about the Lord. But if the Lord gives to you a new heart, then you will feel something of Him. Then you will feel sometimes the love of the Lord, especially in the house of the Lord. And then your heart will be renewed. And then you will say, oh, who is this that fills my heart with love, that fills my heart with desire? Oh, the more that the Lord instructs you, then you will see more and more of Him, because the Lord will teach you also something of His law. Oh, that you will not only desire that law, but then you will begin to see yourself in light of that law. Then you will begin to say even of yourself, who is this? I thought I was a good boy. I thought I was a good girl. I thought I had a good heart. I thought I walked according to the commandments of the Lord. But who is this? Oh, this is a boy. This is a girl that is a transgressor. This is one that is not able to keep the commandments of the Lord. And when that love of the Lord that fills your heart, then you will grieve over your sins. Do you ever grieve because you cannot and do not want to obey the Lord, boys and girls? And that is not only then as a child, but congregation, the Lord makes us as a child. And when we are born again, and then we become a child of Him. And the Lord, He has said, except that we become as a little child, and then we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, then we begin to learn who that we are before Him. Then we say, who is He? Oh, who is God? Where is God? But also, who is this? Who am I? What have I done? What have I become? And so that need is born, oh, slowly, step by step, as a man is instructed by the Spirit of the Lord, who the Lord is, as a man is instructed by the Spirit of the Lord, who He Himself is. Oh, then more and more, then he learns who that enemy is. He could not see sin as he did before. No, that sin that becomes evil in his sight, that he says, who is this? He sees the might, he sees the power, as he has never experienced it before in his life. And then he begins to go over this world in a downcast way. Why? Because those enemies, oh, they are too strong for him. Those enemies are those of which he feels that he is never going to be able to overcome. And then he feels that that enemy is going to destroy him at the last, and that he can never enter into that blessed communion with the Lord as his soul now desires. And thus, he can go over this world. But when the Lord, he is now coming, when a man is going bowed down over this world, under the suppression of his enemy, downcast, with time and again looking up unto heaven and saying, O Lord, how then is it now ever possible that in a sudden way, when he has come up to the house of the Lord, when he has gone upon his knees, and when he may be with that word of God in his inner chamber, oh, then suddenly the Lord, he is opening his eyes. And that can be congregation so far in the distance that he sees him so far away. But when he may see him, what does he do? Then he says, who is this? Oh, when I may see something of God, and when I must see something of myself, And when I must see something of that enemy, but who now is this? Who is he? Let us look. Let us see who he is. Let us see in our second thought how that he looks. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Oh, may you ever see something. May you ever see something of the gloriousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he ever revealed to your soul? Because if the Lord was ever revealed to our soul, then we can tell how he looks. Then we can tell something about what we have seen. And if we cannot tell something about what we have seen, then we probably have not seen anything at all. Because one who sees, he is a witness. And he can speak about the things that he has witnessed. And he can tell of those things that have gone before, how the Lord, he has made room for this. And he can tell what he has seen. And he can tell the things that did follow after. And then even if those things you say, oh, they are very, very small. They are very, very little. And yet they were great things in the eye, in the heart of those who have seen them. Because what do we read here? Glorious in his apparel. That is now how he appears to such a needy soul. Glorious in his apparel. So he is appearing in his glory. He is appearing in his majesty. He is appearing in his power. Job, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Thus there is a great difference between hearing and seeing of faith. And when that eye may see by faith, then what does Job say? He says, wherefore I abhor myself in dust and in ashes at the same time. Oh, then there is a seeing when they may see something of that power. See something of that majesty, then they see something as that bride has seen, and that he is in their sight so precious, and that he is white and ruddy, and that he is altogether lovely, and that he is the chief in their eyes. What does Solomon write? She writes, his head is of the most fine gold, and that his locks are bushy, that his eyes, they are as the eyes of a raven that are by the waters. They are washed with milk and they are fitly set. Oh, what a beauty that the soul may see in him when he is in such a surprising way and under these circumstances, under the suppression of all of their enemies, showing himself unto them. When he appears in our text, he appears as one, we read, who comes from Edom. He comes from Bozrah. That is, he comes from where? He comes from the land of the enemy. He comes from the land, from the place where he has fought the battles of the Lord. And when they see him coming just from that place, then how do they see him come? We read that he comes traveling in the greatness of his strength. Thus they see him coming as the victor in the greatness of his strength, traveling, that is to come back. He does not come back as one that is wounded. He does not come back as one that is overcome. But he has come back as one who has conquered the enemy. Behold, she says, his glory. Behold, his strength. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? dyed garments. That is what she has seen. And now the question that goes forth from that church, when she has seen him, is, what is now the meaning of this? These dyed garments. And she begins to ask, because when the Lord appears unto his people, then so often then there are still questions. They are raising questions within their hearts. Then they wish to know the meaning from the Lord. And so they are asking, as we can read it here, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? What does that speak of? Well, boys and girls, in those days, when they would harvest their grapes, and they would make wine out of those grapes, then they would bring them into the wine press. And in that wine press, that is not the same as today, where they had all the machines of today. But then the people themselves, they would take the shoes off of their feet. And in that wine press, then they would stand, they would trample on those grapes. They would trample and trample and trample and trample on those grapes until there was nothing left. And all of that wine, all of that juice from those grapes that was flowing out of this wine press. And then you can understand what happened to their clothing. Because all over their garments, when they would come home, then their garments, they would be all red. They would be stained garments. Those were stains that were not easy to come out of those that clothing, you can ask your mother. Thus these stained red garments. And thus we see here Christ, as he is coming from Edom, from Bozrah. And then Isaiah says he looks just like a man who has come out of the wine press. He looks just like a man who has been treading the grapes. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? And the Lord, he gives his answer. He says, I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled on my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Thus his garments, they are red, because those garments, they are sprinkled with the blood of his enemies. He has trodden them under his feet, just like the grapes, they are pressed in that wine press until there is nothing left, until they are utterly destroyed. And thus the redness of these garments, that is not speaking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but the redness of his garments, that is speaking about the blood of the enemies of Christ. Thus it is not speaking of his own weakness. No, it is speaking just the opposite of his own strength. It is speaking of his own power. And thus the view of that church that they are receiving of him is a view of him in his power. It is a view of him in his victory. It is a view of him in his life, in his resurrection, after that he has come out of the grave, as it were, when he has destroyed that enemy. Then they see, because he brings with him also the tokens of his victory. And what are they? Well, they are in the first place his own life. He cometh, that is, he is not dead, but he is alive. After he has gone down into Edom, after he has gone in unto the enemy, then he has also come forth from that enemy. He has come out even with his own life, And not only so, but he has come out not as a weak man, and not as one whose strength has been taken away, but he comes away from that enemy, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And not only so, but then it can be seen also on his garments that are sprinkled with the blood of the enemies. What does that mean? Oh, that means that the enemy is dead. That means that the blood of the enemy that has been spilled, that means that the power of the enemy that has been taken away. And thus, when that church may see him, and they may see him coming, and they may receive something of the explanation of the Spirit of the Lord, then that church, they may rejoice. Then they may rejoice in the power and in the victory of their Lord. Let us sing. Psalter 207, 1, 2, and 3. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. There he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 207. is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That is the answer to this question. Who is this that cometh? He was very far away, but he is coming. And now he is coming closer and closer, and he cometh close enough, as it were, to hear that question and to answer that question. The answer of that question that comes from this man himself. It was not asked to him, but it is an answer that comes from him. Do you know what the Lord says in his word? Then we read that those that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. And that a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for them that feared his name. And then when God's children, when they may speak even to one another. And then sometimes the Lord, then he is showing that indeed we're just two persons. They are gathered together and they may speak of the things concerning himself. How close that he is, and that he himself has been listening to the desires that live within their hearts, that they may know something more and more of him. And then the Lord, he is coming with his own answers. Those that cannot be answered by friends, by family, those questions that the Lord alone can answer. And then he is able to answer those questions like no one in the whole world is able to answer them. And so we hear it here, that she is asking, who is this? And then he is coming with his own answer. He says, it is I that speak, he says, in righteousness. So he speaks about speaking. He speaks about his word. We read in Revelation 19, John saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. We hear that here, righteousness. He judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Here we read, I speak. I speak. He refers to himself. He refers to the Word of God. John writes of him as the Logos. That is, when God speaks, when you speak, children, then you speak, or your mother speaks, your father, then they say what their will is, what they want you to do, maybe. When the Lord, he speaks his will. Who is Christ? He is the Logos. That is, he is the Word. He is the Word. To see him is to see the Word. To see him by the eye of faith, that is, in a special way, to receive the revelation, the will of the Lord. And when we may see in a special way that vesture dipped in blood, then that people, they may have a view of the will of the Lord in the salvation of His church. Thus Christ, He returns with this garment that is stained, that is dipped in the blood of His enemies, but that was not just a warfare that was out of a personal vengeance, a personal something personal against those enemies, but it is, we read here, in righteousness that He destroys His enemies. Thus Satan is judged, Satan is condemned because of his rebellion and those that rebelled with him. Thus Christ, He is sent to execute the judgment of the Father upon the arch enemy of the church of God, that is Satan himself, that is in righteousness. On Good Friday, then we have read to you out of Psalm 69. Psalm 69, that is a messianic psalm. They gave me gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. But then later on in that psalm, then we read that it is also an imprecatory psalm. What does that mean? Well, it says, let their table become a snare unto them. Let their eyes be darkened. Let their loins shake. Let their habitation be desolate. Let them be blotted out of thy book. Maybe you had a question, boys and girls, because if you read in the Bible, the fulfillment of that messianic part of that psalm, then we read that the Lord Jesus cries out in his thirst, but we do not read that he condemns his enemies. You say it was just the opposite. The Lord Jesus, he prayed for his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, how is that possible? That is a messianic psalm and an imprecatory psalm at the same time. Christ, he prayed for his people. He prayed for his people even among that Jewish nation. Do you know who he never prayed for? He never prayed for the devil. It is not possible. And he never prayed also for the companions of the devil in their devilishness, because the Lord Jesus, he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me. Thus the enemies, the true enemies of that church of God, of God himself, of Christ himself, they are cursed. They are forever to be desolate. They are forever to be blotted out of his book. But in their condemnation and in their destruction is the salvation of the church of God. Because it is in their destruction that that church is delivered. It is in their destruction that that church is set free. And that victory is a victory that is going to be celebrated by that true church of God in his exaltation. We commemorate that every Sabbath day. And when on the Sabbath we meet not on the Saturday, but when we meet for this exact reason upon the first day of the week, we read that the Lord Jesus, He showed to his disciples his hands and his feet. But already in the Old Testament, we can read that Christ, he has shown unto his church his stained garments, his garments that were rolled in blood. That was because that people, they existed at that time also, that was from the very beginning, who were under the suppression of that same enemy of the church of God today. Thus David, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Oh, it is a view that the church is receiving by faith. When the Spirit of the Lord, he is taking the things of Christ and he is showing it unto them. Then they receive a view of him in his power, in his victory, when he is traveling in the greatness of his strength. Oh, then the bride, she says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He appears then so glorious, glorious to the eye of faith, as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the Mediator of that despised and that poor people. Oh, then they see him. I have trodden, he says, the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with him, with me. And so the Lord, he has prophesied, he has said it already long ago, that he alone shall be exalted in that day. And when the Lord is opening this unto his people to break something of the seven seals of that book and to open by faith a blessed view of the power of his only begotten Son, oh, then they may exalt him alone in that day. And when they may see him, and then they may see something of the meaning of those stained garments. Because then he is appearing in the gloriousness of that victory. And then they may see something and experience something also in that moment. In that moment, by a true faith, they may experience what? They may experience something of the death of that enemy. Because then there is no one that is able to touch that people anymore. Goliath, he is dead. And all fear of Goliath, by faith, that dies with him. Every earthly enemy that becomes weak in the day of faith to God's children, they become like Daniel and his friends. Oh, then they are not afraid of a burning fiery furnace, and they are not afraid of that den of lions. But there is much more, because the enemy is not out there. You may ask that people, but that greatest enemy that is living within, oh, that greatest enemy that is within their own breast, that enemy that they fear that they will succumb to before that they have to die. But now when Christ may be viewed in his victory, then that afflicted and that poor people, they may for a moment trust in that name of the Lord. Oh, then that guilty soul, then he may see, he may believe something of what Paul says. Even if it is the smallest part, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Oh, it is all in that power of that blood, that their sin may be cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Oh, then they may see that sin is dead. Because what does Paul say? Then sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Grace, 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 O congregation, to see the smallest part of the meaning of that blessed word. What do we read here? In the fourth verse, for it is the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. What is that? What is that? The year of my redeemed. That is the year of liberty. It is the year of jubilee. It is when all those that were under bondage, they were set free. And now God's people, when they may speak, then they may tell us something of this. What they may see. When they may say, who is this? They may see a little bit of what is contained in the destroying of the enemies of the people of the Lord. Oh, then there is no more enemy that can touch them in this world. And then there is no more guilt that is able to overcome them. Then there is no sin that is able to pollute them so that they are cast out from the communion of the Lord. We read even in the New Testament, we read in the book of Revelations, and there was no more curse. Thus, even all that comes out of sin, that evil, all that flows out as the consequences of sin, all that is not able to touch that people anymore, even death itself. Oh, that last enemy, it is called in the Word of God, that is so feared by the people of the Lord. But you know what we can read there? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? There is not an enemy, because he has come. He has come from Edom. He has come with dyed garments from Bozrah. Oh, congregation, who is this? Oh, would you not desire to see him? Just a little bit of him. Oh, your heart that would go out after him with such longings, with such desires, if you may only see. Oh, did you ever see by the smallest exercise of faith, even through a glass darkly, that you may see him traveling in the greatness of his strength, glorious, so glorious in his apparel, and then over against all the wretchedness and all the filth and all the pollution and all the corruption and all of that enemy that is living within. Oh, to see him for one moment in such a way that make your heart to leap, to skip for joy. Oh, that is now the beginning. It is not only a taste, it is also the beginning of a joy of eternal life, eternal joys. It is the start of that which shall never end. For a little while here, for by moments to taste of it, by a little faith, through a glass darkly, and one day for all that enemy to be completely destroyed and never to be able to enter in there, anything that defileth, then the church, then they shall sing, and they shall sing, and they shall sing forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee for all thy help. Wilt thou bless thy word? Give to us to see thee, for to see thee is everything. Then the enemy, he is all done away. Then all fear is done away. O give us, Lord, to know. Give us to say, who is God? Give us to say, who is this man? Give us to say, who is that enemy? Give us to say, who is this? Who is this with dyed garments from Bozrah, O Lord, traveling in the greatness of thy strength? Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our places. Watch over each and every one in all the tasks of this life. Give us meditations upon thee. Oh, that all the things of this world may not come in upon the blessedness that may be experienced by moments in the life of thy children. Oh, give us to taste, give us to handle, that the desires more may go out unto thee daily, and that we may flee all that is here below and that cannot satisfy, and that that substance may fill our hearts with that joy that may draw us unto thyself. Forgive all our sins. Wash us in the blessed blood, the precious blood of thy only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 31, stanzas 3, 4, and 7. O thou that ever savest those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes. By thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy, full and free. 3, 4, and 7 of Psalter 31.
Thank you.
peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.